you for listening to our podcast. For more information, visit us on DurbanChristianCentre.com and stay in touch with us via Facebook and Twitter.
So now, for the next 2 weeks, I want to talk about the power to multiply. The power to multiply. How many of you know that multiplication is part of the blessing? Amen? So there's a couple of scriptures, but I'm going to just really read one for you this morning, or two. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 10. All right, verse 10. And it says there in the New King James Version, the Lord your God has multiplied you. The Lord your God has what? Has multiplied you. And here you are today as the stars of heaven in multitude. May the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are and bless you as he has promised you. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Ezekiel 36 and 30. Ezekiel 36 and 30. In the New King James Version, Ezekiel 36 and verse 30 says, and I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot more scriptures that I'll give you, you know, in this week and the next week. But two more that I'm going to give you. Hebrews 6 and 14. Hebrews 6 and 14 says, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And then the last one, Genesis 1:28 says, the Lord, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish, the birds, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, your word opens up to us, that we would be able to, Lord, drink from your word, that we would be able to eat from your word, that we would be able to be replenished and revived and restored and ministered unto by your word this morning. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. So, I'm talking about the power to multiply. What am I talking about? The power to what? The power to multiply, all right? Now, I don't know if you noticed, but when you see there in Genesis 1:28, that the second word after fruitful is what? Multiply, all right? We've been talking about fruitfulness, and we see there that God speaks about the power to multiply because he is the God of multiplication, and it is he that gives you and I the power to multiply. Multiplication is actually a mathematical term, and it really is the process of adding a number to itself a certain number of times. And we know that as that happens, there is increase that takes place. We know that addition, if you add numbers together, that also brings about increase. But when you multiply, the increase takes place not linearly, but exponentially. So it's almost like that multiplication, the increase happens because the increase is on steroids, if I can say that. Amen. 1 + 1 = 2, and +3 + 1 = 3, and +1 = 4. And so there is increase that takes place, but it is little by little by little. Multiplication is almost compounded, and it is exponential. Amen. How many of you would rather have multiplication instead of addition? Three of you. Praise God for your enthusiasm. Well, I tell you what, I'd rather take addition if there is no increase, but I'd rather have multiplication instead of increase. Can you say amen? The point that I'm trying to make here is that from the Bible, when you look at Genesis to Revelation, and I want this, you see, multiplication is not something that we learn. It's not something that you figure out with your mind. Multiplication is a spiritual concept. So that's why I want you to receive this into your spirit. Some of you are saying, well, we heard this message again, but my question to you is, are you living in multiplication? If you're not, then you need to say, hang on a bit here. Let me just pay attention. Let me drop what I'm doing. Let me forget about the pizza in the oven and the biryani that we're going to have in just a while. And let me open up my heart and receive from the Lord, because I'm trying to tell you that it's God's desire for you and I to live in multiplication. Can you say amen? So when we look from Genesis to Revelation, we see the evidence of the God of multiplication. And the fact is that He gives you and I the power to multiply. When we look in creation, we see that there is the power to multiply. All right? So the very first book of the Bible, which is the book of Genesis, introduces us to the concept of multiplication. And we see that it is used in conjunction with the words blessing and fruitful. Hallelujah. In other words, God's idea of blessing creation, God's idea of blessing mankind, includes the idea of being fruitful as well as the power to multiply. Can you lift your hands and say, when God blesses me, His will is that I be fruitful and operate in the power of multiplication. Every time you think about the blessing, you ought to think about God wanting you to be fruitful and about God wanting you to multiply. Can you say amen? So when we see that God speaks to the sea creatures, the animals, and the birds in Genesis 1:21, this is what it says. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Every time you see God wanting to bless you, you need to see that He wants us to be fruitful and that He wants us to multiply as well. Then we see that God speaks to mankind in verse 28, which is the scripture I read to you. And it says, God blessed them and God said, be fruitful and multiply. All right? After the flood, when God wants to reestablish His covenant with Noah, this is what He says in Genesis 9 and verse 1. So God blessed Noah. Now, when you see the word blessing, what other two words should you be expecting? Fruitfulness and multiplication. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Then when you get to verse 7, He reiterates it and says, and as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. How many of you can see that? Can you say amen? Amen. Then when we look at the covenants and the patriarchs with which He established covenant, we see the same principle. We see this promise is given to Abraham. Now, what makes the story about Abraham so amazing is, if you remember, Abraham came from out of the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. That he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't circumcised. He was basically in a pagan land where there was disorder and chaos. His father was a pagan worshiper, and Abraham had the faith to believe God. Amen. And so God singles out Abraham and speaks a defining word to him concerning the blessing. And we read that in Genesis 12, verse 1. And the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, your father's house, to a land that I will show, and I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now you're saying, well, Pastor, hang on a bit there. I see the word blessing, but I don't see the words fruitful, and I don't see the words multiply or multiplication. Well, hang on a bit, yeah. God uses different phraseology. He uses different words to speak about the fruitfulness and multiplication that is wrapped up in the blessing. Would you lift up your hands and say, when God blesses me, it means He wants me to be fruitful and to operate in the power of multiplication. Hallelujah. So we see that this promise is repeated again and again to Abraham. And each time, God attaches the concept, the blessing of fruitfulness and the power to multiply. Where do we see it? Well, we see, for example, in Genesis 13 and 16, when he is talking to Abraham, look at what he says. Genesis 13 and 16, he says, "And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth." Does that sound like multiplication? "So that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also will be numbered." That sounds like multiplication and the power to multiply. Can you say amen? "Then to Abraham's descendants who were to come forth from Sarah," remember Sarah was barren and beyond childbearing age, God says these words, Genesis 15 and verse 5, "Then he brought him," Abram, "outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said, 'So shall your descendants be.'" That sounds like multiplication and the power to multiply. Bump your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, that sounds like multiplication and the power to multiply." And then again to Abraham, God said in Genesis 17 and verse 6, listen to what he says, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." That sounds like multiplication and the power to multiply. Can you say amen? Then after Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son Isaac, this is what God says to him in Genesis 22 and 17. He says, "Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." Bump your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, that sounds like multiplication and the power to multiply." Now, because of the blessing upon Abraham's life, Isaac, the one time he sowed in that year, and it was a famine time, and in the same year that he sowed in, he reaped 100-fold. That's Genesis 26, verse 2. "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." Bump somebody and tell them, that sounds like multiplication and the power to multiply. Hallelujah. See? I mean, if you can see what I'm saying. "Then to Jacob's descendants," this is what God promises. Genesis 32 and 12, he says, "For you said, 'I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'" Bump somebody and tell them, that sounds like multiplication and the power to multiply. To Joseph, this is what he told Joseph. Genesis 49 and 22, "Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall." Bump somebody and tell them, that sounds like multiplication and the power to multiply. Hallelujah. See, I'm just trying to give you a scriptural basis for there. For God wanting to multiply. When I talk about multiplication, what am I talking about? Everything that you touch ought to multiply. Your witness ought to multiply. Your faith ought to multiply. Your resources ought to multiply. The anointing upon your life ought to multiply. Your marriage ought to multiply. Hallelujah. It ought to get better and better and better and better and better and better and better. Hallelujah. Your business ought to multiply. Your finances ought to multiply. Hallelujah. Anybody in this place believing God for multiplication? Your life groups ought to multiply. Who you witness to, that seed that's deposited in them is now the seed that they begin to minister to others, and that witness begins to multiply. Making disciples ought to multiply. Getting people saved and adding them to the church ought to multiply. Everything we do ought to be done in the spirit of multiplication. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. So now when we get to the Gospels, what do we see? We see the same thing there, the power to multiply. when you look at the parables that Jesus spoke of. In Matthew 13 and verse 1, he talks about the sower who goes about to sow seed, and there's four types of seed. And I don't want to read the whole story, but eventually the last type of a soil is the good soil. And so this is what Jesus said. He said, you know what? But others, verse 8, fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus is saying, let me tell you something. When you sow the word and there are souls that are reaped for the kingdom, amen. God doesn't just want us to reap souls and get converts. He wants us, for those same converts, to be disciples that have themselves fruit in them. And he says, I want that their fruit be 100-fold fruit. Did you ever notice there? God didn't say, well, some seed fell on good soil, and then, you know what, that seed produced 30-fold, and then 60-fold, and then 100-fold. He said, no, that seed fell on good soil, and it produced 100-fold. In other words, God emphasizes a high yield. God wants us to operate in that multiplication spirit. He wants there to be 100-fold in your life. Hallelujah. And then if you don't have the faith for 100-fold, well, I guess God will settle for 60-fold. And if you don't have the faith for 60-fold, well, I guess God will settle for 30-fold. As a matter of fact, God will take whatever he can get from you. But his desire is that we operate in an optimum place. God desires that there be 100-fold in our life. How will that take place? Lest it be through the power to multiply. How many of you can see what I'm saying here? Amen. Now let's look at another parable in Mark 4. Jesus makes a very important statement, verse 26, and he says, listen, let me tell you what the kingdom of God is like. Mark 4, 26. He says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Hallelujah. The seed, of course, is the word of God. And he said, and so he scatters the seed, and then he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So when we look at this parable, we understand that the farmer, that's you and I, has the ability to sow the seed. And the farmer has the ability to create the conditions in the soil for optimum growth to occur. But the farmer does not have the power to make the seed grow. Hallelujah. Amen. The farmer does not have the power to make the seed grow. So, in other words, the seed itself carries within it the power. Amen. And the power to multiply resides in God and in the message of the word, in the message of the gospel. In other words, the same power to save is the same power to multiply. Would you look at somebody and tell them that the power to multiply resides in God and his word? The same power to save is the same power to multiply. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen? Listen, God's desire is so for us to be in that multiplication mode that then Jesus says in John 14 verse 12, he said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. In other words, Jesus is expecting you and I to overtake the work that he did. He is expecting that what we do goes from addition to multiplication. And when we go into that multiplication mode, in other words, it's compounded, it is exponential, there is a rapid work, a quick work that manifests itself. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then we see in John 15, verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And then verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Now, we can see the power to multiply in the Gospels, but when you get to the book of Acts, you see there again the power to multiply. Hallelujah. And the Bible begins by people being added, Acts 2:41. And then in Acts 42, verse 47, again, souls being added to the church daily. In Acts 5 and 14, people, believers, increasingly added to the Lord. And until you get to Acts 6, verse 7, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, how do we get this power to multiply? How do we get this power to multiply? I've got about 7 or 8 points that I don't have the time to do that. I'll probably will continue tonight. But I want to tell you it's important that we understand, how do we tap into this power to multiply? Well, let me tell you, number one, the power to multiply begins with God and not with man. The power to multiply begins with God and not with man. If you compare Genesis 11 and Genesis 12, Genesis 11 is all about a group of people who have become rebellious unto God. They have disregarded God. They have turned their backs on God. And now they are saying amongst themselves, we are going to build for ourselves a tower that reaches the heavens, and so that we can make a name for ourselves. How many of you can see that this was self-centered? This was fleshly. This was carnal. This was all about pride and egotism. This was all about the works of the flesh. And they were saying, we want to do this. We want to establish a name. We want to multiply, but we don't want to operate in the Spirit of God. We don't want to operate in the seed of Christ. We don't want to operate in the nature of God. We want this to be man-made. Let me tell you, that's not the way to multiply. That's not the way to multiply. God does not approve of man-made multiplication. And let me tell you, man-made multiplication might look good, and it might seem like you're going somewhere, but it is short-lived. And anything that multiplies, that's man-made and manufactured by man's intellect and man's power, eventually turns to dust. God is not in that. He was not in Genesis 11. And they wanted to increase and multiply upon the face of the earth. And they said, let us do it without God's help. Let's do it in our own strength. We're clever. We know how to bake bricks. And this is what we are going to do to make a name for ourselves. Can you get that up in Genesis 11 and verse 4? You can see there. It says, come, let us build ourselves. This is all about me, myself, I. This is all about my ministry. This is about my anointing. This is about my gifting. This is about the calling on my life. This is about God blessing me. Me, myself, I. Me, myself, I. Me, myself, I. Me, myself, I. Let me tell you, God does not bless that kind of an attitude. Can I get an amen? Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. All right? No, we're not supposed to be making a name for ourselves. We're supposed to be lifting up the name of Jesus. In everything that we say and do, we point others to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, you can look at that and you can contrast that to Genesis 12. Like I said, Abraham is a nobody. As a matter of fact, he's probably the last person that you and I would have chosen. He's in a pagan land. There is darkness, there is poverty, there is famine, there is sickness everywhere. His father is steeped in paganism, in witchcraft, and all kinds of stuff. And Abraham's heart is calling, is crying out for God. He is wanting God. He's searching for God. He's wanting to have an encounter with God. And when God speaks to him, he says, God, I don't know who you are. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm just going to step out and I'm going to trust you and I'm going to walk with you. I don't know where it is that you're taking me. I don't know how this thing is going to happen, but I know one thing. If you're going to multiply me, if you're going to bless me, if you're going to cause nations to come out of me, if you're going to cause people to be blessed as a result of me, this is going to have to be your doing. This is not by my might. This is not by my power, but this is by the power of the Holy Ghost. This is God manufacturing. This is God bringing about the power to multiply. Can you say amen? Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that's come to us. We know from the scriptures, as we have read this morning, that your desire is not just to bless us, but in that blessing, you desire for us to be fruitful. You desire, my God, that everything we touch prospers. You desire that everything we touch multiplies. And I want to thank you that we have proclaimed this year, 2016, to be the year of multiplied fruitfulness. And Lord, I am declaring over this house right now, in the name of Jesus, that that power to multiply is going to begin to be evidenced, that we come in a heart, in a state of humility, understanding we can't manufacture that. We can't do that. It's not by our strength. It's not by our might. But I want to thank you, Lord, even as we surrender our hearts and our wills and our businesses and our families and our children and our resources and our finances to you this morning. And we declare you to be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, that you are the owner of everything. Lord, the cattle on a thousand hills are yours. The silver and the gold is yours. Everything in this earth is yours. Everything that we have is yours. I want to thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that there are men and women, husbands and wives, that there are people here today that begin to operate in that spirit of multiplication, my God. Oh, we understand that it is not by our might, but by your working. Work it out in us, I pray. Let there be the power to multiply in our resources, in our businesses, in our ministries, and in the way that we do church. My God, in our commitment, in our faithfulness, in our families, in our relationships. The joy of the Lord, let it be multiplied, Lord. Let faith be multiplied. Let hope be multiplied. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, let there be a multiplied unity in this house. Let there be multiplied love, Lord. Let there be a multiplied faithfulness and a steadfastness that we choose to be immovable right now, unshakable, unconquerable, in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and say, Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today. Your desire is to bless me. And in that blessing, you desire for me to be fruitful and to multiply. You cannot multiply nothing. You can multiply fruitfulness. You can multiply something. And so I thank you today that I can bring that something to you and you can multiply it. I bring you my love. I bring you my faith. I bring you my commitment. I bring you my joy. Right now, let there be a multiplication. Let the spirit of multiplication break forth in my life. Let it overflow. Let it spill into my family, my business, this church, everything that I touch, my life group. Lord, let it overflow into every area of my life. Just like the patriarchs of old, I thank you that you have called us to live in and to operate in the power to multiply in Jesus' mighty name. Now, before we go, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I would like to receive an offering this morning that is going to go to the Bible school. My desire is to be able to look upon the congregation, people that are involved, committed in life groups, committed as leaders, as elders. And if there are those that have not studied, I would like to be able to provide for them. Maybe you've been to Bible school. Maybe there's no desire in you to come to Bible school, because we want to train people. Just the other week, we had the privilege of talking to two Bible college students who have done their 2 years, and one of them's going back to, is it Malawi? It's Malawi. So that person's going back to Malawi, and the amazing thing is that he found himself in Durban, and as he was under the bridge, the Lord spoke to him about coming to this church, just like that. He didn't know about us, and under the bridge there, he looked, saw the dome, and the Lord said, I want you to go to that church. When he comes to that church, the Lord speaks to him about coming to Bible school. He was working a work, and he said, Lord, how am I going to come, and I got to work? But he came to full-time school. I don't know how he made it, and now he's going back to Malawi, and we spoke to him. And he's already gone back on Saturday. He went back, and we blessed him with a little bit of something, not a whole lot. But I said, I want you to go back there. I want you to start a life group. I want you to get yourself a job. And then when the time is right, we will come as a group of people and set up a church and establish a church there in Malawi. Amen. And so I really have a heart to do that. But my heart is also to train people that are in the house. I really want to plant churches with people that we know. That's my heart. I want to plant churches with those that have labored in the house. We know, we've seen the fruit. And that's the beauty of life groups. The beauty of life groups is that you can get to know those who labor amongst you. You can begin to see the fruit flourishing. And in that fruit flourishing and multiplying, you can see the call of God. It's clear. And so what I'm trying to say is that I would love to be able to sponsor some students. All right. I know I normally call up for those who feel the call of God. But what I want to do today is those of you that feel you want to help pay for people to come and study the Word of God. And so you want to sow into this, the Bible school, the training. For those who want to come and study God's Word, I want to receive an offering this morning. And nobody's under any compulsion. But here's the thing. When you start to invest in that, we all have a part to play in him or her studying the Word and then one day establishing and planting churches. And I want the ability to plant churches to multiply. The book of Acts, the Bible says daily they was added. Daily. They went from once when they preached to people getting saved, to people daily being saved. How many of you can see multiplication? And from Jerusalem, they were sent out, and then from Antioch, and there were churches that were planted, churches that were planted. So I want to start a church planting movement in this church. But how many of you know it takes finances to do that? And before we can plant churches, we have to train them. And I'm looking to start a third-year program specifically for church planting. If you feel the call to plant a church, not to plant a church 5Ks away from here, but a church that you feel God speaking to you. You know what? South Africa is a big country. Africa is a big world. The world is a big place. And so wherever you feel the Lord calling you to plant a church, we're going to do that. Amen. So I want us right now to, let's get the offering bags. Are they ready? Can we go ahead and just pass those bags through? And let's sow into that school. We're sowing into something phenomenal. If there's anything that's going to change people, it's the Word of God. The Word of God. And we want people to be trained in the Word. So let's pay for that. Let's begin to pay. My aim, here's what I'm believing God for, is that every Bible college student that comes, that we would be able to say to them, we're going to sponsor you. We have so much money, that you don't need to pay. But I don't want the kooks and the flakies and the fakes coming, all right? It's those that feel the call of God. And obviously, we will screen and we will do, you know, we will put them through the test and see who qualifies and who does not qualify. But let's get the resources in there. You can only do what you can with money. I wish we didn't need money, but we need money. It costs to train. It costs to do all that we do. It costs to have the manpower. It costs to do all of that. Go to the wing. All right. And then also while you're doing that, those who are being baptized this morning, go to the tuck shop. The Thunder Dome. The Thunder Dome. Go where? Brother Joe. Where's Brother Joe? Are you taking them somewhere, Brother Joe? Thunderdome. Okay, so those of you that are getting baptized right now, you can stand up, all right? But before you go, let me just quickly, those of you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you've come into this place, and this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're saying, Pastor, I'm here today, I'm away from God, I have no peace. Today, I'm here, and I need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I'm away from God. I don't want to labor this point. Just quickly, wherever you are, would you lift up your hand so that we can pray for you right now? Just go ahead and lift up your hand if you're in this place. And then we'll go and dismiss you. All right? All right? Those of you who say, you know what? I need Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. As well as those of you that need prayer afterwards, I'm going to ask you to stay behind. Okay? So the rest of us, let's stand up. Lord, as we go our various ways, thank you that you go before us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you so much for watching us on live stream. God bless you. Those of you that are here for prayer, come to the front. If you want to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, come down to the front as well. All right. God bless you.
You are listening to an audio podcast by the Durban Christian Centre, Jesus Dome, a house of prayer for all nations.